العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
So we're speaking about the day of Arafah. It's of course the biggest day in the life of a Muslim, is to stand on the plains of Arafat and to be in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is to be done on that day? We already said the time span or the time frame is from Zawal. From Zawal, the ninth day of Dhul Hijjah, and it stretches all the way until Fajr of the next day, Fajr of the tenth day of Dhul Hijjah. وَلْيُكْفِرْ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ التَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالثَّنَاءِ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَالدُّعَاءِ وَالتَّوْبَةِ. It is the day of making ibadah to Allah Ta'ala, making tahmeed, saying Alhamdulillah, saying Subhanallah, saying La ilaha illallah, making dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, making dua, reciting Quran, making the talbiyah, hadith that says أفضل دعاء دعاء يوم عرفة. The best dua that you can make is the dua of the day of Arafah. وأفضل ما قلت أنا والنبيون لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. The best dua is to say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. Prophet says this is the dua that I and all Anbiya had made before. So a person should then on Arafah spend this time and alternate between all these different things. Make the talbiyah. Remember, the talbiyah labbaik is still in place. Need to do that still a lot. Asma'ul Husna, we can recite. Should we do individual dua or should we do in the jama'ah, in a group? One should try both. One should try to do in jama'ah. Sometimes it's encouragement as far as that is concerned. But at the same time, one should also spend a lot of time with oneself. Arafah is really a personal thing. Personal relationship that one is, conversation that one is having with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we also advise that couples, husband and wife, also stand together. They come out of the tent and they stand together and to worship Allah ta'ala on the outside. Because they've got their own things that they want to ask as a couple, as a father, as a mother. They know what their lives are like, they know what they are in need of, they know what are the types of things that they want to appeal to Allah ta'ala for. So most of the time should be spent in individual ibadah, but doesn't stop a person from joining some jama'ah dhikr also for a short while, just for encouragement and for brotherhood, etc. It says, وَلَا يَصُومُ فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمِ لِيَقْوَى عَلَى الْمُوَاضَبَةِ فِي الدُّعَاءِ وَلَا يَقْطَعُ التَّلْبِيَةَ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةَ. What did it say about the talbiyah? It says here, you should not be fasting on the day of Arafah. I already mentioned this before. The Hajj does not fast, because he has to have his strength to be in the worship of Allah Ta'ala to the best of his ability. Whereas people that are not on Hajj, they will be fasting a Sunnah fast. It says, وَلْيَكُنْ أَهَمْ إِشْتِغَالِهِ فِي هَذَا الْيَوْمَ الدُّعَاءِ فَفِي مِثْلِ تِلْكَ الْبُقْعَةِ وَمِثْلُ ذَلِكَ الْجَمْ تُرْجَى إِجَابَةُ الدَّعَوَاتِ وَلْيُلِحْ فِي الدُّعَاءِ وَلْيُعَظِّمْ الْمَسْأَلَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَتَعَاظَمُهُ شَيْءٌ. Again, he speaks about the dua. He says that you should keep yourself busy with dua, because it is very, very likely that your dua will be accepted on the day of Arafah. And he makes an important point that when you make dua, you should ask things that are important. Ask of the big things that you want in life. Don't ask only small things. Ask of whatever your heart wants, but ask of the greater things, dunya and akhirah also. Because nothing is too great for Allah Ta'ala to respond to. One should not only focus on dunyawi things and small things. One should ask those things, yes. But ask for forgiveness. Ask for Jannah. Ask for the highest place in Jannah. Ask for being in the company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Anbiya and the Saliheen. Ask for your children to be in Jannah. Those are of the great du'as that the person should not miss on the day of Arafah. Because he says here, لا يتعاظمه شيء. Nothing is too great for Allah Ta'ala to respond to or to reply to. We know also that shaytan on that day, as mentioned in the hadith, مَا رُؤِيَ الشَّيْطَانَ أَحْقَرْ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. Shaytan is not seen smaller and more humiliated than on the day of Arafah. Why? Because people are worshipping Allah. In other words, when shaytan sees people making so much dua and so much dhikr and so much tilawat of Quran, he's saying to himself that he failed in his mission. He could not take people away from Allah Ta'ala. Look at servants of Allah, they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's also dua hadith that says that most of the time that Allah ta'ala sets free most of the people from the fire of Jahannam is on the day of Arafah. Most of the people's necks are set free on the day of Arafah. So this is indeed the greatest day for the Hajj. And as I mentioned before, you should make use of every moment between Zawal and Maghrib. You should not waste even a moment. Only time that you will not be in the remembrance of Allah is if you have to go to the bathroom, if you have to take wudu, if you have to eat something, that's it. But even the eating, even that should be minimum. Should eat just enough for him to carry on. And not have like a long meal with discussion, that's wasting of time on the day of Arafah. So obviously once a person has done that, alhamdulillah, that would have been the most important part of Hajj, is Al-Hajj Arafah. And if a person did not stand on Arafah even for a few moments between Zawal and Fajr of the next day, then unfortunately that Hajj is invalid. You will have to come back and perform another Hajj in place of it. And it is one of the rukuns, there's no way you can make up for it. You can't pay a dam to make up for not being on the site, on the plains of Arafah. Then of course when he is done, when the sun goes down, then it is sunnah for a person to then leave Arafah, not to make Maghrib at Arafah, but to delay the Salah of Maghrib to be made on Muzdalifah. So wait for the sun to set, then when the sun has set, orderly, in an orderly way, the person should leave then towards Al-Muzdalifah. Now, so what is the most important thing to do on Muzdalifah? Our Hujjaj, when they come on Muzdalifah, the first thing they worry is they must fetch stones, collect the stones. At least we can do that, but that is not the most important thing. First thing when you come on Muzdalifah is to make Salah. You didn't make Maghrib and Isha yet. So that's the first duty. You reach Muzdalifah is to make Salatul Maghrib and Isha together. Again, there's difference of opinion. Is it for traveling? Is it part of Hajj, etc.? We spoke about that already. Just do what the Jama'ah is doing. If they're joining the Salah, you join it with them. So that's the first duty. Then the second duty is that the person can collect some stones. So there's two opinions, that he collect all the stones that he must pelt for Aqaba, which will follow Muzdalifah, or does he collect stones for that and for all the days of Tashriq also, or does he only collect for Aqaba? Two different opinions. The stronger opinion in the Shafi school is that he collects only for Jamaratul Aqaba. Otherwise, only seven stones, or a little bit more, just in case. So where's the other stones collected for the 3 days of Tashriq? It's collected on Mina itself. Okay, should you collect all at Muzdalifah? Also not a problem. There is a view that you can collect all at once and keep it for the days of Tashriq. So that is the second duty of a person on Muzdalifah. And the third duty is to stay part of the night, minimally, to stay part of the night on Muzdalifah. Our Hujjaj normally stay until the second half of the night and then they leave. We find many other people, they stay until Fajr. That is the greatest sunnah. The person is able to stay until Fajr and not to leave before Fajr. In fact, in some madain, it is a requirement. A Hanafi school, you have to stay. You can't leave in the middle of the night, but you have to make Fajr in Muzdalifah. This is a prerequisite according to the madhab of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. So what should you do at Muzdalifah for that night? There's no specific duty or ritual. You rest a bit. But again, you are in the remembrance of Allah. That is basically what the Hajj is about. فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَاذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, if you move away now from Arafat, you move towards Muzdalifah, what should you do? فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ, remember Allah Ta'ala, at the Mash'ar al-Haram. Mash'ar al-Haram is Muzdalifah. So remember Allah Ta'ala, so that night you contemplate, you've got much to think about. You've got much to think about because you've just spent now a day on Arafah. So hopefully inshallah your sins have been forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. You're starting a new page, you're turning a new leaf. So you've got so much to think about in terms of your future. So if Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you, if Allah Ta'ala has raised your level to that extent where you are like a newborn baby, as the hadith says, what are you going to do now for the rest of your life in the dunya? How are you going to act family act when you go back home? What is your life going to be like? Life of the Hajj can never be the same. Can't be the same like it was before he left. Everything changes. A person is in a different frame of mind. Person after coming from Hajj, his focus is much more on the Akhirah than what it is on the dunya. He lives in the dunya, but his eyes on the Akhirah. Right? Person who comes from Hajj is much more conscious of his responsibility towards Allah and towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are all things that the person think about when he is lying down on Muzdalifah. And I always tell the Hujjaj that Muzdalifah is one of the, and the word Muzdalifah itself, it comes from the word Zulfa, Zulfa, which means At-Taqarrub, which means closeness. Because it's all to do with closeness to Allah ta'ala. And I say to the Hujjaj that on Muzdalifah normally, you are shown that your true identity, who you really are. You are shown that you are only a slave of Allah, servant of Allah. If you look at how Allah brings you down, level after level. Like when you go to Medina normally, all the Hujjaj will tell you. Hotels, accommodation, everything Medina, the vibe, the environment, everything is so nice. It is so good, it's so calm and peaceful. And that is true, because that is the city of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has that effect, calmness. Then when a person moves to Makkah, you see there's a difference. Medina and Makkah is not the same. Makkah is much more busy. People is in and out, up and down, and cars and movement, much more than Medina and Munawwara. And also you find sometimes that if you move to Makkah, accommodation is sometimes not as great as it is in Medina. Well, nowadays things have changed. There are good accommodation all over. But then what happens then nowadays, after that first day of Dhul Hijjah, people go to Aziziyah, that is the norm. So they downgrade again. Downgrade. From Medina to Makkah is downgrade, from Makkah to is another downgrade. But in most instances, in Aziziyah, people share bathrooms, they share kitchens. So you have to bring yourself a little bit down. And then going from Aziziyah to Mina, further downgrade. Because now you must sleep in a tent. But alhamdulillah, you still have a bed, you still have a mattress. There's still toilets, although you must stand in a queue now for the toilet, long queue. Aziziyah didn't have that. Maybe three people only on one toilet. Now you maybe have, at any given time, maybe 20 people waiting for the toilet. So that's another downgrade, further downgrade. Arafah, another little bit down, because they only spend one day there, there's no mattress to sleep on, it's just a mat, so you must just sit there, do your dhikr, do your ibadah. And then when you go to Muzdalifah, that is the ultimate downgrade. Because there you come to Muzdalifah, there's nothing. There's not even a tent. There's not even a toilet inside. A lot of times people have to relieve themselves in the bush or close behind the mountain. This is nothing. Well, nowadays I think they've upgraded a bit. There are toilets, but sometimes you have to look far away the toilet. Water is not always freely available. There's no restaurants. You can't go buy your burger quickly. No, it's not possible. Nothing like that. That is Allah Ta'ala's way in trying to tell you that now that you come from Arafah, your only identity that is important to you now is that you are the slave and servant of Allah. That is who you are. Everything else doesn't count. True slave, Abd, Abdullah. And that is the real honor, the honor that Allah gives you, to be His slave, to be His servant. And many people say that when they are on Muzdalifah, this is the moments, the best moments of the Hajj. Because they feel like, one person told me, when I came to Muzdalifah and I saw the place where we were supposed to spend like a whole night almost, I was shocked at first. Because I realized it's the first time ever that I'm going to feel like a homeless person. What the homeless feel like when they are outside. No shelter, nothing. You have to sleep on the floor if you want to sleep at all. On a musla, on a piece of cardboard. A lot of people sleep on cardboard. That's the norm. You see that fight a lot. Because there's nothing else. So that is the Hajj. The Hajj is there too. Teach a person that kind of humility, and that is basically what Muzdalifah is all about. Spend some time there. Sunnah is to stay until Fajr if you can, that is the best. But if you want to leave in the middle of the night, especially the elderly, the sick, etc., that is allowed. And then a person will, of course, proceed from Muzdalifah, they will proceed back to Mina to pelt only one Jamara, and that is what is called Jamaratul Aqaba. And at the time when the person pelts the Jamarat, Jamaratul Aqaba, from that moment onwards, the Talbiyah stops. The It's no more tanbiyah, but it is replaced by the takbir. So the first shouting says, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. So now the takbir kicks in. Remember, it's the night of Eid also, or the morning of Eid. So on Eid, we all make takbir, whether on Hajj or not on Hajj. Takbir is very important. So the tanbiyah is then replaced by the takbir. So the person makes the takbir and tells the seven stones to Jamaratul Aqaba. And then once a person is done with that, he can cut his hair and relieve himself from ihram, or herself from ihram. And then the next duty will be to perform the tawaf and the sa'i. So we'll speak about that, inshallah, in the next occasion. Speak about the rest of the rest of the actions that are required during the time of tashriq and the day of Eid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Nabina Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma ya awwal al-awwaleen, wa ya akhir al-akhirin, wa ya rahim al-masakeen, wa ya dhal quwwat al-mateen, wa ya arham al-rahimeen, arhamna fa innaka bina rahim, wa la tu'adhibna fa innaka alina qadir, wa altubina fima jarad bi maqadir, wa dabbir lana fa inna la nusilu al-tadbir, ya ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.